on Hungry for Sports, Greg Denham.
Good morning, Greg.
Rocco, listeners, how are you? Look, that was absolutely fantastic. I agree with everything you said there. I don't think that...
That's a shock.
Yeah. We've known each other for 25 years, and I don't think I've agreed with you once. Look, I actually do, and I think that it's a little bit frustrating for Collingwood fans. But I think even in The Age today, in your column, you point out, rightly so, too, that with outputs of 12 goals, 11, 11, and now 7... you're not going to win many games of footy. I don't think Daniel Wells, and he's been mentioned today as a possible saviour come Anzac Day, I'm not sure if Daniel Wells is going to help Pies, and De Goey will to a certain extent when he comes back. But, look, I just don't know. And as you mentioned the forward structure, I think Moore's a player of the future. Just seems down on confidence. I don't know what it is.
Well,
he's
think,
better than that. He's still young. And I'm not prepared to write him off at all, but I think he's going to be a really, really good player. But he needs some help. And you just can't, Jesse White's that enigma of a player that you can't rely on. Like, he'll do the really, really impossible and go well, and then doesn't do the easy things well. So, look, they're in a bit of bother. At least they've won one game. There's a little bit to work with, but... I would think their next match is going to tell a lot, and it's got to be very, very... It's going to be a big game on, week today, isn't it, against the Ds?
Absolutely, but against Bombers. But
they'll
need a lot more than that, I reckon. Darcy Moore, just quickly, he's not a key position forward, ideally. I reckon he's a third tall. I mean, he's still pretty slight. He might grow into that key forward role. But if you're going to have someone of that sort of physical stature as your main goal kicker, you've got to have reliable support. And neither Cox nor Jesse White are reliable support.
Do you bring Reed back as a forward?
Well, ideally, I think so. But then the defence, what's left in defence? Yeah. I guess Lachie Keefe is there, isn't he? They could turn to him. But as we expected, Greg, the switchboard absolutely going ballistic at the moment. So let's get straight to your calls. And Michael, g'day, Michael.
G'day, Rowan. Greg, how are you?
Good, Mick. You?
Yeah, good. Look, I've got two concerns as a Collingwood supporter. One of them in regard to one of the stats you just read out, that we've won the contested ball in every game. Now, these guys winning the contested ball, when they're not winning, it's only a matter of time before they drop off their effort.
Yep.
Which means they won't...
Too labour-intensive, you're saying?
Well, no, when there's no rewards for effort, why chase? Why tackle?
Yeah, Buckley said that, I think, after the game.
I didn't hear him.
Yeah.
My other concern is just the amount of delusion we've always had at the club, the self-delusion. 6 years at the helm and it's injuries, and it's everything else. But, look at what Beveridge did with injuries and a team that was supposed to finish last year before based on the walkouts. Everyone's walking out of the club. I mean, we know he loves Collingwood. We love Buckley. But Eddie and Buckley really have got to look in the mirror and say, are we the people to take the Collingwood into the future? And I don't think they are.
Yeah, well, look, a fair point about Eddie, and we're getting a lot coming through on the SMS saying, well, what about Eddie? And I guess the direction is set from the top, and there's been some pretty questionable decisions made in the big picture, hasn't there? One, obviously, that very controversial handover from Mick Malthouse to Nathan Buckley to begin with at a very successful juncture in the club's history. But I think also, more disturbingly, more recently, the jettisoning of Neil Baum, if you like, as football manager, and Graham Allen coming in. You know, how much due diligence did they do on that? So, look, it's a bit of a mess, I think, in all areas of the club. We're going to zip through some calls because we've got heaps coming through. Let's go out to Ferntree Gully and Jeff. G'day, Jeff.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good.
I wasn't delusional at the start of the year because I thought we'd be crap. But what I don't get is even like something small, how is a great overhead mark? You could bring Dunn. You could bring Scharenberg. You've got Keith that could double down back. They've got to do something because yesterday we looked slow. And I'm telling you now, I hate Eddie Hatch, so that was my first thing for yesterday. I knew we'd lose. But next week with the faster Bombers, I'm telling you, it's not looking good. I don't get it.
Yeah, look, 50-50 call for me that game because the Dons are hardly setting the world on fire at the moment. You raised Eddie Had Stadium. One, probably in the end, almost the main reason I tipped St Kilda yesterday was that the Pies have only won one of their previous seven games that he had, so that's now one out of eight. Even the fact when a side continually fails on a particular ground, is that a coaching issue too? Because I think you cut your cloth accordingly. And good points about the defence. I mean, where is Lyndon Dunn? And Lachie Keefe, what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, it was a defence that beat Sydney at the SCG.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really hard thing to do, and they did it. I think that yesterday, they were absolutely, the game was given, could have been given to Collingwood, the way St Kilda missed so many easy goals. And, you know, I thought the Saints at one stage, Collingwood were on top early, but I thought the Saints probably should have been a lot further in front than they were.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, if a half-decent team could have taken advantage of St Kilda again yesterday, and they didn't. And I think that's a big worry. When you get up, when you really get up for a game like they did the previous week against Sydney, and then you fall over against a team that we probably don't rate as high as Sydney, St Kilda, I think that's a little bit of a problem. And that's my biggest worry,
well,
above the head.
It means that the effort is conditional. And one I mentioned they've won the contested ball every week, but one big stat yesterday, they recorded, now you're not going to get the sort of numbers they got against Sydney every week, 115 tackles, I think it was, but fewer than half, or just on half that number yesterday. St Kilda definitely had the fiercer tackling pressure in that game yesterday, I reckon. Let's go out to Sunbury and Tony. Good morning, Tony. You there, Tony?
It's from Thornbury.
Sorry.
That's pretty close.
It finishes with Berry. But anyway, what do you got for us?
Listen, I reckon if Collingwood would win a lot more games if they'd stop that bloody handballing. It's all I could say to myself every time I watch them. Kick the damn thing. I mean, the handball to each other. Most times in work, you know, the handball to the player that is in the worst position they are themselves.
They might be handballing more because when they kick, they seem to turn it over half the time.
They turned it over more times while they were handballing them, there they kicked it. At least if you kick it, you're 40, 50 metres closer to the goal and you have a 50% chance of, just like the opposition. But you're closer to the goals, you know?
Yeah.
And as for, I like Tyler Adams, tough and everything, but by the time he kicks it, maybe he should be the only one that should be handballing. He's always kicking to the opposition or out of bounds or whatever, you know?
Okay. Thanks for that, Tony. Fair point. Less handball, more kicking, says Tony. Down to Wonthaggy and Gavin. G'day, Gavin.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are we doing?
Good,
you?
Oh, not too bad. Pretty disgruntled with the Pies this year. It's the same thing every week. I'm not sure why we got Dunn and Keefe, kept Keefe. You put Dunn and Keefe in the side, you can put Howe, Reid up forward. It looks a lot better forward line. You've got Howe, Reid, Moore, Elliott for solo, bring Dacos in. That's a pretty potent forward line. I'm not sure why we got the other two lads if we don't play them.
Well, the key position players have got to be the foundation planks of the setup, really, don't they? And it was interesting, Howe was recruited to be a forward. You know, he's moved to defence.
On the promise, apparently.
Yeah. So it hasn't sort of turned out how it should be. Ben Reid, before his injury problems, had proved a very handy swingman, I guess. But, you know, look, of all the guys that they've given a go, more aside, of the guys that they've played as key forwards, I think Reid has looked the most adept. But, again, at the moment, because they don't seem prepared to play the likes of Keefe and Dunn, he's propping up that back line.
Look, forget Dunn. I mean, fair dinkum, he struggled to get a game with Melbourne. But I'm not...
Last
giving,
year, the year I, before, I'm, he was close to all Australian.
I'm not...
He was.
Yeah. I'm not. Keefe's had so long out of footy that I think that there's improvement there. I'm prepared to stick.
Well, that's an issue. You're seeing the Essendon suspended players are struggling.
Yep. And I think, look, I'm just not sure how good Mason Cox can be. I'm the jury's out. But I think if you got him there, you got to play him now because we mentioned the goal tally so far. Terrible this year, the output of goals from Collingwood. So you've got to try something. And you know, he worked last year on Anzac Day. Maybe run him in again.
I think they will try something. I think it's absolute sort of last roll of a dice now. Anzac Day, if they were to play as poorly as they did yesterday on that sort of stage, much as I'm not a believer in coaches not seeing out the year, You just wonder, sort of, you know, if in desperation they might actually act there and then, and that would be absolutely massive. I'd really hope that doesn't happen to Bucks, whatever happens. But, you know, you just don't know what pressure's going to do to a club. Let's go to Greensboro and John. G'day, John.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Look, I agree. We're probably about only half of the stuff you said. I think our problem isn't our defenders. I think they're actually... there's some quality individuals. I've been a big fan of Bucks, but I think the problem is probably two. I think he thinks that his game plan and his execution can be done because he thinks everybody's as good a kick as he used to be. And unfortunately, what happens is when we do turn the ball over, that's when we get punished. And the other thing is, I've actually changed my mind about him being coached now, thinking that I don't think his game plan is conducive to forwards because they run the ball out of the back line and they do that a lot. And by the time they get into the forward line, everybody's run back with them. So you've got the forwards contesting probably against, you know, three quarters of the side. So I think something's got to change, even if it is for the sake of the dynamics.
Yeah, we've talked about coach killers before, and I think that when a team just displays such shocking skills... And not just in goal kicking, but around the ground, particularly early doors Collingwood this year, yesterday again. I don't know if you can blame the coach, Rowan, you know, with poor skills. I mean, these blokes, I can't believe sometimes the lack of talent that they've got in their school level. Just unbelievable.
Well, kicking particularly. No, I think that's a reasonable point. You know, I don't think that can come solely on the coach's head. It's a bigger bigger issue.
And the other thing too that really annoys me, and I've saw her a lot on the weekend, is there any chance that a bloke that's a specialist forward can have a shot for goal from 45 metres instead of trying to find a short pass off? I mean, they're paid to be forwards. If you can't kick a goal from 45 metres, and I'm not talking about on 90-degree angles here, you shouldn't be in that team.
No, I think I've supported Bucks right throughout this. I think the thing, though, which makes you think now, that definitely is a coaching issue, is that complete disconnect between the amount of ball that the midfield is winning and the lack of conversion. Now, that talks about your systems are deficient, the structure, the mix of the forward line is wrong. Just to that end, we've got a couple of interesting thoughts on that. One on the SMS. Oh, hang on, it's just slipped down. On Twitter, actually. If you want to tweet, by the way, Rowan_Connolly, you can get me on, or SEN News. And Hungry for Sport, you can tweet through that. But Damien, who I know is a very intelligent Collingwood, I'm not saying that's an oxymoron, but intelligent Collingwood supporter, says, we have options, but the mix is the issue. White and Blair provide nothing. Names he throws up, Degoe, Dacos, Keefe, Cox, Main and Crocker. So we're not short of options, I suppose, but it's just how effectively they combine. And we're not seeing a forward unit that gels well at all. Let's zip through some more calls. One more before we go to a break. Let's go to Williamstown and Shane. Hi, Shane.
Yeah, g'day, guys. What I wanted to say was I think Collingwood are the greatest underachievers in the football world, resourced as much as they are just to continually just deliver up that crap. And I'd have to say, you know, it's not just Buckley. They've got a Brownlow medalist as part of the coaching panel. They've got Sanderson as a coach. They've got Scotty Burns. The thing is, when you watch that skill level, that decision making, that comes back on the coaches. I'm sorry, they're professionals. If they're like you trying to do your job, you don't have command of the English of the Queen's English. You couldn't do it. You wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have a job if I did my job that poorly. It's just, it's got to come back on the coaching staff. And I think time's up for Bucks. It's a W and L game, and we've got more L's than W's. So you know, and it's not looking any better.
Yeah, fair point. Not sure about that analogy, Shane. Plenty of our colleagues that have absolutely no command of the Queen's English whatsoever, and neither can they write. Stay on the line, Vince, Mark, Darren, Craig, George and John. We'll get to your calls. I sort of had a feeling this topic would elicit a bit of interest. Time to head to a break now. Greg is always brought to you by the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road, Richmond, corner of Coppin Street. One of life's great pleasures, actually, is lunch at the Spready with its new order menu and extensive wine list. Don't forget, private dining function rooms are available. It's a great place to catch up with friends for a drink, watch all the footy on the four big screens, and it's open today. So experience some real Richmond hospitality. Drop in or contact the Spread Eagle Hotel, 9428 6895. When we return, more Collingwood angst. It's 25 minutes past 9, 11:16 SEN.
On 11:16 SEN, mornings with Rowan Connolly. For iPrimus, unlimited broadband and NBN plans for all of us. Call 131 101 and Mercedes-Benz Brighton. Think Mercedes-Benz, think Mercedes-Benz Brighton.
Well, going back there, our very own The Angels, bit of shadow boxer, and some of these angry Pies fans doing a fair bit of shadow boxing this morning. Half past nine here on 11:16 SEN. A few disappointed Tiger fans, I've got to say. They were waking up this morning hoping KB would be on, hoping this would turn into the Richmond show, as per usual.
Yeah, as per usual, yeah.
As you know, Greg, you're accustomed to that. But we will talk Tigers because they deserve a rap. You have a look at the top of the ladder at the moment. Only two unbeaten teams, and yes, the Tigers are one of them, second only to Adelaide. It's been a great start to the season.
Oh, fantastic. And I said that, you know, The good win was the West Coast win, I thought. And, you know, when you win, you get confidence. And, you know, they might not have beaten much yesterday at the Gabba, although Brisbane have improved. But, you know, you can see, and I think you'll agree with me, that the small forwards now that Richmond have embraced this year. Asprey. Now, I didn't think Asprey would ever play probably league footy again. He's been fantastic. Caddy and Prestia keep going really well, just as Dan Curvis have. They've won four games unbeaten. And you know what? They may well play finals now because, I mean, confidence just takes you everywhere. So, no, they've been absolutely fantastic.
Well, their run coming up certainly gets a fair bit tougher in the next few weeks. They've got Melbourne at the MCG in the Anzac Day Eve game. Then they've got the Crows, top of the table clash in Adelaide. Now, that, obviously, that's going to be very tough. And then the reigning premier, the Western Bulldogs. So,
three good games, isn't it?
Yeah, really? I think a lot of people still hedging their bets on the Tigers, but if they can win two of those three, I reckon you've got to say that they're the real deal.
If they win two of those three, I will take my hat off to them. I've been their biggest critic.
Yeah.
Once again, didn't tip them in the eight. But then again, I didn't tip Adelaide in the eight.
Neither did I. Let's not go there. I think you'd have to take your hat off to them. So, look, plenty of room for your input, Tiger fans. Get on the line, 9429 1116 or text 0433 98 1116. This hour for Open Corp, go to opencorp.com.au to organise your free, no-obligation assessment. Now, we'll zip through these remaining angry Collingwood fans, and we've got a couple of other topics people are offering up as well. Let's go to South Morang. Vince, g'day, Vince.
Morning, Greg and Rowan. How
Vincey,
are you?
Good,
very
mate.
Well.
You?
What do you got for us?
Yeah, very frustrated Collingwood supporter. Just a few issues. A player like Jared Blair has got to be one of the luckiest footballers going around to be getting a game every week.
Well, it was surprising he came in yesterday for Phillips, and Phillips had been in such good form too that probably didn't help the Pies, I reckon.
What was more surprising was that there were several times in that second half, certainly, where he was leading up as the target inside 50. And if you're using Jared Blair as your lead-up marking target, you've got a highly dysfunctional forward line.
Correct.
Anything else, Vince?
Yeah, also, I mean, the game plan is obviously not working. Buckley's failing to make some changes. I mean, a bloke like Darcy Moore, who's still young, but he's struggling for confidence, I would have put him at some stage in the ruck and put Grundy down at full forward because that would have had St Kilda thinking a little bit as well because Grundy's red hot at the moment.
Yeah, although it's got a bit of a Rob Peter to pay Paul feel about it because Grundy's doing very well on the ruck and then do they even cease getting the ball out of the middle?
Well, he's not just doing well in the ruck. He's also been a fantastic almost midfielder. His second effort has just been fantastic. He's been an absolute positive for the Pies this year.
Yeah, well, increasingly the ruckman has to be a follow-up virtual on-baller, and he does it really well. Good point. Let's go to Baronia and Mark.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Very
good.
Well.
As a Carlton supporter, I'm loving all this. It's magnificent. You know, it's great to hear all these Collingwood losers get stuck into their coach and president. Maybe they should go back and make the movie The Club.
Well, it's got, there are a few things out of The Club that are starting to look eerily familiar, although fortunately not the high-priced recruit who indulges a little too much off the field. But, yeah, look, there's some stuff at the top end of that club that I think a lot of people would be quite disturbed by.
How do you reckon the Blues are going, Mark?
I'm quite happy with them, but unfortunately we're just fading out in patches. I went Saturday night and we had every opportunity, but by the way, we just didn't have a full forward and who can kick straight. That Lynch, what a player. I mean, Carlton should go out and go and poach somebody like that. They never get him, but that's what they're missing at the moment. But I'll tell you what, they've got a good call coming through there, the Blues, I think.
Jury's out for mine. Look, there's a few promising players there. I think Marchbank is going to be something very special, and you know, he's the great mark in the back line that they needed. Jury's out a little bit for me, I've got to say.
I think they're on the right track.
They're on the right track. I'm just not sure whether some of the players that have been getting, that some of the kids that have been getting a big rap, well, I just want to see a few more weeks yet.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Okay, let's head out to Blackburn, Darren. Hi, Darren.
Yeah, just to the previous caller, typical Carlton attitude, let's go out and poach someone. Anyway, good luck.
I was about to say to him,
those days are over.
Yeah, those days are over. Or what do you got for us?
Yeah, good luck to the GWS reserves. Anyway, look, I don't get to go to many games, boys, because I'm always coaching basketball or football, but I went yesterday, and I had a few concerns. You know, I throw the baby out with the bathwater. We all want Bucks to succeed. But I thought that there needed to be some change. During the game, what was happening wasn't working. It just seems to me that Nathan's really hesitant to make changes in games, like he's second-guessing himself. I think the other thing that I really disagree with Pendle's extended run on the bench. The game was up for grabs there and then, and by the time we got to three-quarter time, it was well away from us. I think the other thing, too, is that too many players have left the club, and it seems to be that there's, you know, a theoretical or a philosophical clash with the coach and these players. And, you know, to lose Clark for pick 76, I thought was a little insulting. Although he wasn't setting the world on fire, I think David Clark had some merits in his points. And I think the other thing, too, is if they do make a change on the coach, they can't just go and appoint Ruse or Clarkson that they've done historically. They need to have an open and transparent process like they've done at West Coast, like they've done at Carlton, and seem to be on the right track.
Probably like they didn't do with the football manager job.
Another really good point, because at the end of the day, we've all got footy managers and CEOs and everything like that, but when it comes to running of the team on the club, we all know that the coach has the final say. And Mayne and Wells and these guys throwing big money at them, they can't even get out in the track for one reason or another. To me, just smacks of, you know, geez, is this a self-preservation exercise, or are we genuinely looking at these guys being a part of something special at Collingwood? And to me right now, that answer is no.
That's an interesting point,
really,
you make,
point,
especially
Stan.
With Mayne, though, like big money, a lot of years, out of the side after three rounds. Worry.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Sandhurst, Craig. G'day, Craig. Craig's gone. Mount Waverley, another Craig in Berwick.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. Very well.
Good. Look, I'm sick of these Jared Blair people that just keep ringing up and bagging him. They were bagging him at the footy yesterday. I mean, I don't know what... I love the bloke. You know, he had 16 touches, kicked a goal, and he ran at 75%, which is more than most of the other players. We had Sidebottom, he ran at 51%. He might have got it 31 times, but he turned it over 15 times, you know, and how many of those turned into goals for St Kilda? It's a joke. People have got to get off Blair and leave little bloke alone. He goes in, he gets in and under. You know, we got too many outside players, and he's one player that gets in under the pack.
Well, I'll tell you, if you keep playing him, you'll keep losing. Simple as that.
I think it's a bit harsh, but I think there's something seriously wrong when he's not sort of playing the role that he should be, and it's certainly not leading up, trying to be a marking target.
I think you know, the little talking about the little blokes and that, the fellow that came back in yesterday, played his first game for, we may be a little bit harsh on him because it was his first game since 2015, and I'm talking about young Elliot. He will be good. He will be good. You've got to stick with him. You can't have Blair and Elliot in the same team.
Well, they've got a lot of medium-sized forwards. I think they're a bit overstocked in that department and perhaps too many midfielders as well. Boy, the calls continue to come
in. Where's DeGoey and Wells going to play? You're talking about the same.
Yeah, I know, and they're not there in themselves. They're not going to solve the problems. Okay, we will wrap up on Collingwood shortly. More calls after the break. It's coming up to 20 minutes to 10. Greg, of course, is here, courtesy of the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road, Richmond. One of life's great pleasures, lunch at the Spready with the new autumn menu and extensive wine list. And don't forget the private dining and function rooms available. Open today, of course. Catch up there with friends for a drink and watch all the footy on the four big screens. We'll be back in a minute. It's 20 minutes to 10 here on 1116 SEN.
On 1116 SEN, mornings with Rowan Connolly. For iPrimus, your NBN experts, call 131 101 today. And Mercedes-Benz Brighton. Think Mercedes-Benz, think Mercedes-Benz Brighton.
Oh, haven't heard that for a while. That's quarter to 10 here on 1116 SEN. That is Paul Kelly and the Messengers and Darling It Hurts.
What a great song, written by your brother.
Co-written by my brother, Steve. Yep, Steve and Paul. Paul basically took all the royalties, rightly so, but Steve actually co-wrote that song with him.
Great song.
A bit of a toe-tapper, better than some of the stuff Steve wrote over the years. But, that takes you right back. That's off... what album is that? Gossip, which came out in, I think, 1986.
85, I would have said.
85, 86. Yeah. So we're talking more than 30 years.
I'm still living in Perth?
Yes. Not a lot's changed in 30 years.
A lot of people think I should stay there.
No, never. Never. I was about to call you Genghis soon, but I won't do that. Let's go back to our callers now. This hour for Open Corp. Go to opencorp.com.au to organise your free no-obligation assessment. Let's head out to Mount Waverley. George, who wants to talk about the state of the game. G'day, George.
G'day, guys. Good morning, Greg and Cheers. Rowan. Greg, please do not cut me out. Every time I ring, you cut me out and you just start talking rubbish. Let me give you a quick story. I don't understand how you guys think this game's great. Now, let me give you a story. I've got a 7-year-old daughter, and this morning I told her, let's go to the football. Mind you, I'm going to buy the newspaper and read the newspaper because I don't bother watching it anymore. I just do it for my daughter. And she said to me, no, Daddy, I don't want to go to this rubbish game. I'll tell you the point I'm getting at. The other day, I decided to put an old VFL game on. And my daughter sat down and she started watching the whole game, believe it or not, with me. And you know what she said to me? Oh, gee, Dad, this is great. This is fantastic to watch. You know what I'm getting at, Rowan?
Yeah, I do. So in a nutshell, George,
I certainly don't.
What don't you like about today's game that used to be there?
Well, my daughter, I'm talking about a 7-year-old girl, wasn't even born, and she watched this game with me, and she said to me, why does that man sit next to the goal square, and he doesn't move out of the 50-metre line? Gee whiz, I tell you what, we're in a lot of trouble watching this game. Am I watching rugby of today, or are we watching football? Because I've been saying this for the last 5 years, and people just do not mention it, and I'm getting a bit frustrated at all, and I basically have lost a lot of interest. When is the full forward, centre-half forward, or even the half-forward line? I'm not going to accept people telling me the game's changed. I'm not accepting that at all. And it's an athlete's game, this and all that rubbish.
All right, George, thanks for that. Look, for what it's worth, I think the game in the last couple of seasons has actually looked a little bit better than it did the previous couple. I think congestion still is a major issue, and I think eventually... if we decide we're not happy with how the game looks now, we might end up having some limited form of zoning.
No!
No,
come on.
No,
Rowan.
I think that might be the only way we can get back to that sort of football that George is talking about. But look, well, enough people may think we don't want to get back to that football.
Well, you know, I don't think we'll probably get back to that footy, but I thought I was sitting opposite KB then with lace-up jumpers on still going back to the 60s.
Well,
listen to that.
No, look, as a rule, I'm not... one for dramatic changing of the rules, but I think the congestion thing has lingered for a long time, and there's been several measures already tried that haven't alleviated it. So, I think we need to make an in-principle thing. Do we think the game needs to be more open than it is now? And I think there's been enough games in this year and last year where they were a bit more open. So let's at least look at that for a few more years. We're going to keep moving on. Your old stamping ground, Greg. We've got John is ringing in from Perth, and he wants to talk about throwing the ball. Hi, John.
Gents, how are you going?
Very good.
Almost just a comment on the previous caller. The game's as good as it's ever been, in actual fact. I'm sorry, but I reckon the game's fantastic. It's fast. It's quick.
I'm with you, John. We're
doing everything right.
Yep.
I just want to bring up a couple of points. I've just been watching this game very closely over the weekend. Two things, and I want your actually statements based on what I'm about to say. The umpires, I understand that they're protected species, and so should they be, because there's so little few of them in comparison to players. But Thursday night's game, four clear 50-metre penalties that should have been given to Sydney that were telling decisions at a time when the game was in the balance, and they weren't paid, and the umpires were standing right there. And if you go back and view the Mitchell one, which was perfect, I mean, the umpire had blown the whistle 5 minutes before he kicked it. And then there was two others. But yesterday then they went happy hunting with the Brisbane-Richmond game where they paid five 50-metre penalties. And the other thing is two teams in particular, Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs, Clayton Oliver, Viney, Liberatore, Dowhouse, they are constant chuckers of the football. And if the umpires are either too silly not to pick it up, and I don't believe the game's that quick enough that they can't pick it up, it's so visible out there.
Okay, thanks, John. Look, fair point. I think there has been a bit of a crackdown on some of the more suspicious-looking handballs this season. Yeah, I think they're a bit more vigilant about it than they were. A few more quick calls. Tullamarine, Tony. Hi, Tony.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Good.
That's good. A couple of quick points. A couple of the selection decisions from Essendon a couple of weeks ago, they dropped Hartley. Thought it was a big mistake.
Hard to understand, yep. Next.
And the Gleeson one, I just couldn't understand that, bringing in the Irishman.
But that was for pace against Adelaide's speedy small forwards. Gleeson is a bit of a turnover merchant at times. Anyway, yep, go on.
Yep, and my second point is, so I've noticed with the holding the ball position, if you're tackled and you drop the ball, it'll be play on. If you're tackled and you attempt to handball it, and it doesn't work out, you know, precisely, then it's holding the ball. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that tends to happen, probably because it's a more visibly obvious indication that you've been tackled well and you've lost possession.
Got to get rid of it legally, simple as that. Mitch Brown, how does he get a game with your mob, Rowan?
Couldn't
play at Geelong.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
I thought he was better on the weekend, but I don't think he ideally is in their best side. I agree with that. Hobart, we're off to Tassie and Adam. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Rowan, Greg, how you going?
Very well.
Good. Looking at Richmond play, I reckon their best recruit's been Blake Carosella this year.
Well, look,
ball forwards.
Look, you're possibly right, but I went through very briefly Richmond before, and I forgot the big one, of course, and that's the big bopper, Neil Baum, there. I mean, he's been obviously a calming influence over his side. He's been absolutely fantastic. He's got rid of a few egos. There are a few little problems at the top with players, and he's got them all together, gelling brilliantly. But you could be right. I mean, you know, Carosella's had a pretty good grounding down there at Geelong. So.
Well, he's a long-time assistant now. He's a smart guy, Caro. Yep. He's worked at Geelong. He's worked at Collingwood. Played in premierships with Essendon. Played in one with Brisbane. So he's had a wide range of both playing and coaching experiences, and just gets the job done pretty quietly. So, yeah, look, could be a bit of a sleeper in terms of future senior coaches.
Yeah, I noticed Ken Hinckley taking a lot of advice from Brendan Late on the weekend too. You don't normally see that in the box during a game.
Mm.
Late must have been speaking to him for, it seemed like, 45 seconds.
I think you do. I mean, having sat in a few coaches' boxes now, I think you do, but it's often just not that visible because they're still continuing to watch the game. You don't necessarily pick that up on camera. Yep. Okay, two very quick calls before a break. Jeremy in Hampton. Be quick, Jeremy.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Happy Easter.
Same to you, pal.
Just wanted to talk about Saints Collingwood yesterday quickly. Just wanted to see what you think we can do as a Saints supporter to basically kick straight, because it's coming down to that.
I'm buggered if I know.
Well, it's a $64 million question, isn't it?
Remember, he never missed once, I reckon. Never missed.
Yeah. Although it becomes psychological. The more you miss, the more you're likely to keep missing. Yeah. Even without stats, I'm pretty sure that's the case. And it just becomes contagious. They'll snap out of
they
it.
Will.
But it's, it was very nearly costly yesterday. Final call before our last break this hour. And Murrelbark, it's Greg. Hi, Greg. Quickly.
Morning, gentlemen. I'll time you brief. Yesterday, everyone's having an opinion on Collingwood, so I'm going to really have one.
I noticed that a lot of the Collingwood defenders, they were too busy. They were trying to take speckies instead of spoiling the ball. One. Two, the reason why Beveridge is such a great coach is because he connects to the footballers. He's actually, I won't say he's their friend, but he connects and gets the best out of them. And three, Nathan Buckley, please hear this. Jump before you push, because there is some dignity in resignation, none in being sacked. Thank you.
Okay, yep, yeah, fair call. One, I think Jeremy Howe's the only Collingwood defender who should be given licence to mark.
Agree. I think Buckley connects to players down there too. I mean, I think
relationships between coach and players have gone to another level low, and I think Bucks at himself at times has questioned his own relationships with players. Okay. So I think that's a valid point. Three, I still don't think he'll be sacked mid-season. I hope he's not, and I don't think he will be. I think Collingwood are beyond doing that sort of stuff now, particularly when they've invested this much faith in him. And I think he's inextricably tied to Eddie too, so I think when he goes, Eddie's basically got
totally
to go
agree.
As well. All right, it's coming up to 6 minutes to 10. Greg, always brought to us by the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road, Richmond. We'll be back to wrap it up very shortly.
On 1116 SEN, mornings with Rowan Connolly. For iPrimus, unlimited broadband and NBN plans for all of us. Call 131 101. And Mercedes-Benz Brighton. Think Mercedes-Benz, think Mercedes-Benz Brighton.
Very retro with the music here today. That's Skyhooks Women in Uniform, one of Greg Venom Denham's favourites. Well, Greg, we've got less than 2 minutes to go. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Yes, I will, and I'll give you something to talk about too.
Yep.
For 2 hours, if you want, after I leave, and that is that Jack Zeeble must go today at the match review panel.
Ooh,
because
controversial.
Well, we've had people like Kane Corn say it's shocking. Now, if we were giving a goose of the week, and we're not, but if we were, we would go to Lingy, Cameron Ling, and I love Lingy.
What did he say?
But he basically said that because the bump wasn't high and it was to Cloak's body, injury shouldn't be taken into account. He's nearly killed the poor bloke. Now, under the
Does that mean you can shoot someone between the neck and the shoulders?
No.
The shoulders and
rule of rough conduct, you've got to just take into account what's unreasonable in the circumstances, okay? People forget this. And one of the things that the match review panel and the tribunal take into account is that the player being bumped, was he in a vulnerable position? Now, if Cloak wasn't in a vulnerable position, no one ever is. The poor guy had just kicked the ball, was wide open, and I think Zeeble's in massive trouble. So is Mark Lacroix, and so is Green from GWS. So you can talk about that later.
Fair point.
A lot of people don't know the rules.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair point, and very happy to debate that after the 10 o'clock news. Give us a ring. What your thoughts on Jack Zeeble? Should he go? Should he stay or should he go? As the Clash would ask. 9429 1116. 0433 98 1116.
Been a pleasure, Ron.
Absolutely, Greg. Let's do it again sometime, hopefully sooner than 25 years down the track. you'll be on with Kay Began next Monday.
I'll be on with him Thursday. Cats for me today, you Hawks?
No, same with the Cats. Going with the Cats. We'll be back after the news.